I am Tracy Ross. I'm here with Kate Lochte. And on the phone, we're joined by Callaway County Emergency Director Bill Call. Bill, thanks for being on Sounds Good today.
Great. Good morning. Thanks for hosting me.
Bill, the National Emergency Management Organizations and Governor Steve Beshear are in sync with calling September Preparedness Month, and it's a good way for all of us to go back to think about and act on what we know is a good thing to do, but we often overlook. And in your position, you're planning for emergencies pretty much all the time. What is the current state of planning for earthquake?
The fall, there will be a fall earthquake exercise. The program that's usually done in February, they're trying to move it to the fall. I'll have to dig up the address. So that's one item of preparation that we're doing. That will be the shakeout program. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Take a little bit of time with what that usually involves, because when I sat through a morning of one of those, and it was scary.
Yes, it's hard to prepare for something like a big earthquake. You know, that you just don't know how much will be left to rely on. Of course, we always urge citizens to prepare a survival kit or an emergency kit where they would have on hand a several days' supply of water, a non-perishable food, a battery-powered radio, flashlight. Those kind of general supplies that you'd want are good preparation for any emergency. And so if we had the big earthquake and you had a kit and the roads were disrupted or the power were disrupted or supply lines and so forth, you'd be able to be self-reliant for several days. And that's the kind of preparation we urge all the time, not just for earthquakes, but for any other disaster that might come upon us. But the earthquake could be the most disruptive thing if that were to hit, and anything on the order of the old New Madrid quake would really stress us for sure.
And there is an invisible network of emergency responders who are always training, always thinking ahead while the rest of us go along merrily, not really worrying about it, so that when the time comes, an incident command center is set up and people respond and organize that way. I suppose the crux of the month is the be informed, make a plan, build a kit, get involved. And all of that is just one more thing to do. Do you think people in our community are really doing this on an ongoing basis? I know I don't think I've checked my food supply for a couple of years.
I think all of us are more aware after the big 2009 Great Ice Storm. That was very instructional, I think, of how everyone realized the importance of having some supplies and preparation done in advance. And that's the whole idea of the Preparedness Month in September, is to remind us of that and to encourage folks to just recycle that water and the food that's in your emergency kit to use that and put fresh in so you'll be ready. You know, the time change comes up in a few weeks and we should change the batteries and smoke alarms. And so all these general preparedness items it's well to think of them now before the winter season begins and so forth. I think in general citizens are better aware that the ice storm certainly taught us a lot of lessons about having supplies and having alternate communications plans worked out or rally plans where we'd know where we'd reunite or who we'd call to check up on people and so forth. So this is just a reminder once again to exercise those and to think about that kit and get it up to date. There's several good places to be reminded of items to have in that supply kit: ready.gov website, Red Cross website. Kentucky Emergency Management has some information on the kyem.ky.gov website, and the Red Cross office has some handouts, so there's a number of places where folks could locate a a list of things that they ought to think about and have on hand. One thing I was reminded of recently at a training I went to was your financial records and prescription medicine records and other paper records. If you were to get disrupted, would you have a list of financial account numbers, of passwords, of phone numbers? You know, you can do a lot just in terms of preparation of writing of a lot of this information we all need to live down and put that in that kit too.
Well, that's something else I hadn't thought about. The prescription issue has always vexed me, given the pharmacy's issues with insurance and not being able to give you more than 30 days. I've thought to myself, well, how do you ever have any kind of extra medicine on hand if you're tied to a prescription plan? Have there been any conversations about that?
Well, for someone that's disrupted by a sudden event, such as, say, a house fire or storm damage that suddenly renders their home lost, if you have the information, either know it or have it written down, of what your prescriptions are, Red Cross can do a short-term refill until the system can get you restocked with, you know, your 30-day supply or whatever it is. So that measure is there that gets occasionally used, particularly for house fire victims. Now, if we had a very large disruptive event, then that would be more of a difficulty. But generally what we advise folks is to plan on getting the refill a few days before the prescription expires, before you empty up, you know, all those pills or all that medicine, have your refill on the way or have it on hand, where you have a few days of overlap just in case, you know, something happens during that period of time. But long-term advance refills of the scheduled medicines, that's difficult to do, that's for sure.
The other area of planning, well, there are a couple of other areas of planning that Ready.gov addresses. One that's dear to my heart is what to plan ahead for pets and having everything that they might need for 3 days.
That's right. And that's an item that emergency management is beginning to address, is you know, if we have to set up shelters, what do we do about pets? Many folks are reluctant to leave home if it means leaving their pet, and most shelters aren't set up to be able to accommodate animals. So that's an ongoing problem. I know in the Katrina flooding, Hurricane Katrina several years ago, that's one thing they identified as a major reason people would not leave home even when the floodwaters were coming up. And to many people, their pets are as valuable to them as family members, so that's a challenge. We are in conversation in this county with the Humane Society to try to develop a plan for setting up pet shelters as well as the human shelters if we get a disruptive event in a neighborhood or something. Their current thinking is that we may not be able to allow you to bring your animal to the human shelter, but we'd provide a place where it would be housed and safeguarded and fed, and you'd be able to visit it and that kind of thing. So that's the kind of approach we're trying to take here, and I think in other counties as well.
One thing I've done is I do have crates for each of my dogs, and I think that has made me feel a lot more secure about handling them in case there is disruption of day-to-day life. And I suppose that would be really helpful for emergency shelters for pets as well, to have some way to secure dogs comfortably.
Exactly. We've determined we may be able to identify a location where an animal shelter could be set up, but having enough crates and appropriately sized ones on hand would be difficult to do. So if folks have those travel crates and that allows them to be able to safely transport their pet to where the animal shelter would be, and then for a safe and familiar place for it to be during that period of time. So that's a really good idea.
Where are the human shelters in Callaway County at present?
We have, Red Cross manages that for us. And they have shelter agreements in place with a number of churches and with several of the school buildings. Of course, school building availability depends on the time of year and whether the schools are in session and so forth. What shelter we would use kind of depends on where the displacement may be. Could we try to keep it conveniently located if we could, if it's just a neighborhood, say, that's affected, and the time of year. But schools and churches are the most likely spots to be utilized.
One of the most disconcerting parts of the earthquake preparedness discussion I participated in years ago was considering what happens to the bridges. And I gather that the Kentucky Department of Transportation is doing a lot of testing on the new bridge foundations going in at the Eggner's Ferry Bridge replacement.
That's my understanding, is that they're actually doing some testing with explosive and weights to see how the rock bed under the lake channel would react in the case of shocks, and then they'll use that to help adapt their support piers and foundations to have something that's more rugged. But there are so many smaller bridges that you have to start somewhere, of course, but there are many bridges, since we're surrounded by lakes and streams in this area, that transportation will be a challenge if we have a New Madrid-style earthquake.
Now, Bill, you've been in touch with the Kentucky Emergency Management folks since the crisis in Confidence they experienced a couple of months ago. The agency is carrying on administratively with its mission, so far as I can see online. You've been there recently. Is everything okay?
Yes, it's been a bit of a distraction, of course, but it hasn't stopped us from being prepared to respond to emergencies, to work with planning for the different styles of emergencies, work with training with our response organizations. All that mission has continued without disruption. The number two man at Kentucky Emergency Management is the one that is over day-to-day operations. He's still in place. He's still very involved. I saw him just last week at the conference that I attended, and he's still giving us our marching orders and our guidance very effectively. So administratively at the top, there's some changing going on. They've told us not to expect a new director till probably the end of the year or January, but everything's still in place and still in place to serve the citizens if there is an emergency.
When I was looking through the KYEM weekly incident report, I had the impression that rescue squad organizations that are volunteers just do an inordinate amount of work.
Yes, they are. They and volunteer fire departments, we call upon a lot. Of course, when we had the ice storm here, the county rescue squad and the county fire department were very involved in clearing brush and checking on people and distributing food and water. Every traffic accident, we call those folks out to control traffic or to help the ambulance personnel to transport the victim. In Callaway County, the rescue squad duty is handled by Callaway County Fire and Rescue now. We have one agency, it's a very large volunteer fire department, that also does the rescue preparedness training and response. And those folks are called out just all the time, it seems, for things other than fires.
Bill, thank you for your good work, and I appreciate your taking time today with us.
Thank you.